This is Pauline Batista from UN News, and ahead of World Refugee Day, we're very fortunate to have Mary Maker from South Sudan. She is a goodwill ambassador. We're so honored to have you. Thank you so much for stopping by, Mary. My first question to you is, what is the significance of World Refugee Day to you, and why is it important, you think?
For me, I feel like World Refugee Day is a moment to recognize that displacement happens. You know, it's a moment to recognize the little Marys like me, you know, that had to leave their homes millions and millions of people and end up in refugee camps with probably 300 people. You know, that means people are lost within the way to come to refugee camps or to urban refugees, refugee settlements. And we get to live in these places waiting and hoping that the world is actually seeing that we have been displaced because of conflict, political persecutions, and all the other reasons that make people flee their home. For me, this day is really important because it reminds me that someone out there actually sees my story. To be seen and to feel seen is like a big part for me as a theater maker, right? And the day is a moment to feel acknowledged, is a moment to feel seen, is a moment for people to actually act and really realize that we have to end settlements, we have to end camps, we have to end wars, we have to end all the things that make people get displaced in the first place.
What does it mean to be a goodwill ambassador to you? I know you have a lot going on, right? You have your theater practice and you teach before classes.
Yes.
And there's a lot going on for you. You do a lot. So why does it matter? Like, why are you here giving your time to the United Nations?
As a child, I wanted to be represented. As a refugee, you know, there's no government to speak up for you out there. And the moment I was given the chance to even be a goodwill ambassador, I was like, yes, 1,000,000%. Because for me, just growing up, I would see the UNHCR tracks with, like, you know, the hands on the track. And I'm like, I would feel safe. For me, it was a sign of safety. And as a refugee, to have my voice on the table really matters because, again, there's no way Mary will be able to speak for the 120 million displaced refugees around the world. Those are different stories. Mary is one story of the millions. And how can I ever fathom that reality? How can I ever make the world to fathom that reality, that this happens and that each story is unique? And I got out. That's even the, like, a crazy part, that I got out of the camp. So many don't get to get out. And as a goodwill ambassador, my work is to make sure people get out, right? And that we make the world aware that this shouldn't be normal. This should not be a reality. I think that's why I serve as a goodwill ambassador.
Absolutely. Yeah. Around 40% of all people are forced, you know, who are forced to flee are children.
Yep.
That is a wild number. And how do you think displacement is impacting young refugees, and how does that affect access to education, you would say?
Young people are the most impacted in any kind of war, because even right now, as I'm watching all the wars happening around the world, I'm seeing 25 years of struggle. I'm seeing more than that of you having to go through puberty in a refugee camp, of you having to struggle to find jobs and to find education in the camp. And education becomes this leeway that helps you to reimagine yourself, I love talking about the Maslow hierarchy of needs, to actually make it to self-actualize on the top of the pyramid. And for young people to get to that, education is a pathway. But let's not forget that education is a false promise sometimes, that there's a dead end for so many refugees to ever access tertiary education, not even tertiary education, starting from primary level. For kids to be able to be enrolled in primary school is almost impossible. So how do you ever win as a refugee in this kind of situations, right? Think about it. I come from a big household, 17. So for the parent, my mighty mother, my mighty father that I know in other circumstances will be able to provide for me, do you think they're going to provide for the 17 kids, right? And to have free education, to have pathways and access, keyword on access to education and access means so much things. for a girl child, like, let's say, pads and tampons and cups are a part of our uniform. Like, how do I actually access education? It's not just like, okay, boom, I've built a school for you. Here's one teacher. Figure it out. Right? Education is a pathway for young people to rebuild themselves in refugee camps, and they are talented. They have so much to bring to the table. We have so much talent in the camp. And sometimes even some young people flee with degrees. Do countries ever see these degrees? Language is just one thing. They're proficient in other languages. Like, how do we ensure that we place systems in place so that if someone is coming from an Arabic-speaking country and they have fled to your country, can you still certify them? Because that degree did not disappear all of a sudden.
Yep.
Right? Young people are yearning. They have hope. But hope also diminishes over time.
Yeah.
So really being careful with young people, that they can also become a menace if you don't create systems and if you don't open doors for them to actually see that they can succeed. So the whole narrative of, like, you can make it is there, but we need people to come through to open those doors or those windows or whatever cracks we need to, like, open up for young people to actually rebuild themselves. And education is a big part. I don't know if I could get into it, like, but right now, if you look at the numbers, like, we are at 7%, not 7%, actually 6% of refugees worldwide are able to access tertiary education.
Talk to me about how your story and you graduating is connected to hope for other refugees all over.
Sorry, I always start with an anecdote to answer a question. I feel like growing up, I was always that talkative kid that is like, I will get myself through anything, right? And for me to even maneuver through education was a big deal for me to make it to the end. My dad was always like, a degree is all that you need. And I know it was not an easy journey. It was a journey where I had to drop out to be able to take care of my younger sisters. It was a journey where I had to knock on doors on every high school to actually open doors for me to study. It was a journey of me having to crawl through windows because I did not have school fees to pay, right? So walking across that stage for me was a testament that it is possible. There's a dead end in the camps or like in refugee camps, but I could also be part of the 1%. I could also be part of the 6% that make it to tertiary education. But also many that even make it to tertiary education don't get to graduate because you're not just any normal kid on a campus ground. You are a refugee that is probably in a child-headed family that is paying school fees and other things for the kids around you. And so, like, for you to even graduate is almost impossible. And for me to have pushed through that, I hope it creates a ripple effect, not just in the camp where I grew up, but around the world, that as a refugee, you have as much right as possible to also graduate, to also apply for jobs, to also be employed, to also contribute to the society and the community at large. So I think for me, it wasn't just for me. It was the entire village waiting until they realized that I did theater. And they're like, you went to America to become an entertainer. What is this?
I love this.
But it was like it was a big deal for me, and it was a big deal for my community, and I hope it instilled some kind of hope to so many other refugees that are struggling through school.
Oh, I hope for that too. You mentioned inclusion a lot, refugee inclusion, education inclusion. Let's move forward. I mean, it sounds obvious for us, but there's a lot of people out there who'll be listening to this and they're not even thinking about it. What do you think it really means to leave no one behind?
I think it means to create tables for conversation. How do those tables look like? Who is involved in those tables for inclusion? Are we actually conversing? I know every single time I'm like, or are we just ticking boxes that, okay, this person was here? For us, leaving nobody behind is really being strategic in the kind of policies we put in our countries, right? Or in the countries of people that actually have countries, right? When people are being displaced and they come into your space, really seeing them and not just seeing them from a distance or from the TV and the media, but actually interacting with them and bringing them on board. To leave nobody behind means to actually challenge ourselves as a society and really ask yourself, what would I do if I was in this position? What would I want the community to do to me when if I was in this situation, right? And so that means if I'm making policies in my community, in my church, in my mosque, I'm really thinking of the people around, the refugees that are coming in. Do they have supermarkets where they can go and shop food from home, right? It's small little things. If they're struggling with the language barrier, do I have systems in place to actually make sure that they succeed in this new country? Because they can come to this country and then fail. It's a new system, it's a new place. So do we have systems to actually support the people as they cross the border into the new land, right? In schools, like, don't just give out an assignment as a teacher and expect people to do it. For me, I was really afraid of even asking questions in class because I'm like, I don't want the teacher to know that I am a genius, you know, kind of a deal. And then you realize that, oh my God, everyone is going for office hours. I'm being left behind, right? So like even as educators, really thinking of like, how do I ensure that if I'm giving an assignment, okay, some people love drawing, some people love talking. What about the quiet ones? Because I can easily overshadow people in a classroom. So I'll be really cautious of like, okay, how do I involve everybody in my classroom? That is as educators. As employers, am I actually thinking about refugees in my farm, right? Again, certification, okay, they might have a degree in another country, but they still do have the degree. So employing them, right? As farmers, okay, this person came from a farmland. Let me include them as engineers, right? As midwives, we have midwives that served in the war. Right. In the camp, I remember, like, my younger sisters were born at home, you know, which can be dangerous. But, like, also, like, these are people that are professionals and have done it for years, right? So how do you train them and actually make sure they have safe equipment and everything to actually be able to survive in this new land or something? Inclusion is so many things. It's every single time I think of the model of the bicycles or, like, people on a fence or all that, it's creating those steps and opening those doors for everyone to feel like their voice is heard and that they're part of the conversation. And they're being actually involved wholly and fully.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're approaching the end here. I wish we could stay here all day long. But what is your message to those who have the power to create positive change for refugees all over?
I have so much to tell them. I feel like the first thing is really realize that when you're giving hope to refugees, they already have so much vigor and so much energy. I always think of the story of the girl at the ocean, like taking starfish and throwing them in, back into the river. And then an old man comes and sees her. And she's like, okay, wait, goes and calls the entire village. And they all pick every starfish and throw them in the water. I feel as you are giving hope to refugees or like trying to create positive changes, you really have to understand that everybody has to be involved in creating that positive change. As policymakers, as people with power, really understanding the power of ensuring those in your jurisdiction also understand the importance of welcoming refugees, of making them feel seen. Because you could be one person that, okay, I support refugees, I want to create positive change, but it will only help if you can also encourage your community to really see the positive. I love Chimamanda so much because she talks about the dangers of a single story. And that happens many times where communities don't know. And we have the fear of the unknown. Like, we fear people that are coming in. But really being, as policymakers, people with power, to really change our societies and really understand the dangers of a single story, that you really need to understand this is a father fleeing, this is a child, this is a mother, and really personalizing those stories. That's the only way to create positivity, you know, within the community, and people will be more welcoming.
Again, this was Mary Maker. She's a Goodwill Ambassador with the UN Refugee Agency. Thank you so much for being here with us today at UN News.
Thank you.